Welcome, agents, to another episode of the Anime Syndicate Podcast. I'm Frank, your host, and I'm joined here by Josh.
Yo.
And our special guest, Ruben.
Hey.
Hey, Ruben, bring that microphone closer to you like this. Like, put it in front of you like it is in front of me.
You're about to give it a blowjob close.
Yeah, like you're going to fucking just stroke it off right in your mouth.
Hold on.
Yeah, you can put it down. There you go. And remember, and you got to talk into the dick tip, all right? You can't, like, talk into the side of it because it's like... Yeah, there you go. All right. Yeah, there you go. Actually, I shouldn't have said yo. I should have said yo.
No.
What's wrong with that?
Everything.
Anyways, sorry, continue.
So this is going to be our review of the second season of Overlord. So once again, now that you saw all of season two, Josh, am I right?
I didn't tell you to ask me this every single time we do it. I just said on the next episode, which was the last episode. So now you are not required to ask me anymore.
I'm not required, but I'm still gonna.
Okay. Yes, maybe you were right. I have some issues with this season. Just on principle, not with the actual, you know, the character development was fucking great. There was a lot of great things about this season. And I basically call this season, it's like season two, but it's essentially the Cocytus and Sebas arc. Like, that's it. It's just the two of them, essentially. So, yeah, I fucking enjoyed it. The only thing that I have to say I didn't like, okay? Now, I understand kind of the reason why we needed to get this backstory on these fucking lizard folk. I kind of get it, but I didn't need to see the mating interactions of like pre-mating. I didn't need to see any of that. It felt very furry-ish to me, and I didn't fucking like it.
It was more comedic to me.
I know it was comedic, but I just didn't like it. I just wasn't into it. I don't know why. I just didn't like
you
it.
You always laugh when you see dogs humping.
Yeah, I know, but like lizards, it's because it was lizards. I don't know.
But we got to remember, this is... them, like, they're such, they see the lizard folks as insects, as such lower beings. It's the same as us seeing dogs humping.
Yeah, I guess, but I still felt that portion was overdone. Not unnecessary, I just felt like it was emphasized too much. Now, I understand kind of why we needed to at least see it because of what eventually happens. And that's kind of the crux. That whole relationship between...
Yeah, your laptop.
I'm looking on my phone. Yeah, just to get the episode synopses down. And I get kind of why they needed to do that. We'll get to it. So basically, we start off with episode one. And it's basically back in the old slain theocracy. And you've got the Black Scripture Captain and Zeshi Zetsume talking about this Einzal goon guy that they don't fucking... They're like, who the fuck is this dude? And what's his deal? And then they're talking about the whole thing with the what's her name? Bloodfallen, Shaltir.
Yeah.
They're talking about her kind of thing and basically what we're going to do about this. So we basically go from that to see former adventurer Rigrit of the original 13 heroes discussing the possibility that there's a dark... What? What did you do? You rolled a 20?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, luckily you did it outside of the D&D. Oh, shit. By the way, I forgot to do our cheap plug at the beginning. So if you want to see all the other podcasts that we do, you can go to GameRageMagazine.com and you can follow us on all the social medias at Game Rage Magazine, and you can tell all your friends. And we do a bunch of different podcasts, not just anime. We do music on All Gas, No Trash. We do pro wrestling. We do movies and TV. We do what else is on there? CUP, which is geopolitics and current events. We do the BFN show, which is basically just there is no topic. It's just the shit that we don't have a podcast for, or we just want to ramble and talk about stupid shit. Like, that's what we talk about there. And, you know, we got comics, games. We have an interview podcast, Without Censor. We have a Star Wars one that we haven't done since we first started. However, we're probably going to restart that one again here, maybe. I do think that our new podcast that's coming out soon, which you should stay tuned for, called A Slice of Dice, that one's coming out soon. And that's our Game Rage tabletop gaming podcast where we play tabletop games. And right now we're starting off with the Tyranny of Dragons, or I'm sorry, it's the Horde of the Dragon Queen. And that's part of the Tyranny of Dragons saga in Dungeons and Dragons 5e. So we just did our first episode tonight, but that won't be out probably until, I'm going to say, probably the end of May or the first week of June, because we like to record five episodes and drop them all at once, and then every week put out the new episode. That's just, I don't know why. That's, well, I do know why, but that's just what we like to do here at Game Rage. We've seen better success with that. So that'll be coming out soon, and we're also going to be intermingling Warhammer 40K tabletop RPG Wrath and Glory. And we're also going to start playing Warhammer 40K in that, like the actual game. That's going to have a video component, and I'm very excited about that section. So stay tuned in the future for that. Anyways, that's it for the cheap plugs. Let's get back to the main topic at hand, right? What is this episode called, Frank?
Bone Daddy 2, The Search for Bone Daddy 1.
The Search for Bone Daddy 1. And if you know what that reference is in reference to, please go to the post on the social media pages, whichever one you choose, Twitter, TikTok, or Instagram, and write in a comment what we are referring to, what that reference is to. And if you get it right, I'll send you a gift code for 1 month of Crunchyroll. If you get it right, we will send you a free month.
The first person to get it right.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying. The first person that gets it right, and I'll say it again just so we can fucking make this the clip, basically, or possibly. What time is it at? It's at 7:30. So if you guess the title of this episode, Bone Daddy 2, The Search for Bone Daddy 1, if you guess what that's in reference to correctly in the comments, whoever the first person is, we will give you a 1 month free subscription of Crunchyroll, because that's the only one that exists now, basically, right? So anyways, all right.
Well, there's High Dive, but
what the fuck is High Dive? I never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's another one.
Oh, do they have anything different than Crunchyroll?
Yeah, they have different stuff.
Huh.
Honestly have the more niche isekais.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Like the good isekais? Maybe the ones I'm missing out on?
I don't think you'll like them. Like the farm life ones. These are the ones that are more like the average harem style isekais.
Yeah, not really into those. So you're probably right.
You haven't even seen one, so.
I don't know. I just did sound, the concept sounds terrible.
Like you wouldn't want a harem?
Of course I'd want a harem. Who wouldn't want a harem? Ruben, would you want a fucking harem?
Yeah.
Duh. Frank, you would want a harem, I assume?
I'm not the one that's fucking spitting on the name of it.
That's what?
I'm not the one that's fucking denying its greatness.
Okay, but you do have to think about this. There are some drawbacks to having a harem.
Oh, tons. There's probably more drawbacks
than there are positives. I mean, the only positive is that you basically get to enjoy carnal relations with multiple individuals. However, there's far too many drawbacks to that. I don't even know if it's worth it at this point. If I had the opportunity to have a harem, I'd probably say no. Let's just not.
Katie listens to Dungeoncy.
Huh?
Katie listens to these Dungeoncy.
No, but I've told her this before because she okay, side tangent, but related to harems. She asked me one time, she's like, oh, would you be down to have if I like to do a sister wife thing or whatever, because she likes watching those shows. And I was like, fuck no. And she's like, why? And I was like, you mean to tell me I have to have 2 to 3 women bitching at me about doing shit that I don't want to do? Absolutely not. I do not want that in any way. Oh, but you get to, I don't care what I also get to do.
The negatives outweigh the positives.
It is a bad deal for me all the way. Like that guy, like those guys that are on those shows, they are all crazy. Like they are fucking psychopaths, every single one of them. And there's a reason for it, because they're getting nagged at by like 6 ladies. I couldn't do it. No dice. Unless I'm a sheik or some kind of a Middle Eastern sultan, no multiple wives. That's it. All right. No dice. No dice.
What about that one dude, the one that has 3 wives, mm-hmm. and he's a stay-at-home dad, and they work?
See, that might be okay, but then still, you're still going to get yelled at by three ladies. And then that's three different storylines you got. I don't got the bandwidth to keep up with this shit. Like, I just don't have the opportunity. And then how many kids you got to take care of? Fuck, if there's two apiece, that's six kids. You mean I got to be a stay-at-home dad? Take fuck that. I want to take care of one.
All three of those wives were bringing 100K.
Okay, so we're bringing in 300K. Money's not worth it. It's not worth one thing I've learned. Money is not worth it. It's not worth the money.
No, it's not all, but this is different. It's not all about the money. It's just one of the benefits.
Sure, maybe. Still doesn't outweigh all the negatives, though, in my opinion.
I agree, but I'm just saying, in that situation,
yeah,
it's one house.
True.
Three women.
Oh, they all live together?
Yeah.
Oh, it's even worse.
One house, three women, no kids from this guy's one. He's a stay-at-home dad. All three of them work high-end jobs.
Oh, so you just stay-at-home husband then?
Yeah.
Damn. See, I would love to be a stay-at-home husband. That'd be awesome. Do nothing. Just do podcasting all day and just fucking play D&D and fucking Warhammer. Oh, my God, dude. We'd own every army of Warhammer if I was a stay-at-home fucking dad.
And all three of your wives brought home 100K?
Oh, absolutely. I would probably buy the company who owns Warhammer at that point.
No, I looked them up, dude. They're actually worth $3 billion.
Damn, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, as a stay-at-home dad of three wives, I'd be able to fucking maybe possibly think about affording that one day.
No. At 300K a year, do you know how long that would... That you wouldn't ever
even, you know what? It would be less expensive to just create my own tabletop war game. I'll call it Hammer War just to be an asshole. All right. We digress.
Yeah.
Back to the topic at hand, right? So basically the first episode is kind of just it's the aftermath of what happened at the end of season two, basically. It's the, you know,
season one.
Yeah, or yeah, I'm sorry, the aftermath of season one. And basically it's just about, you know, the enemies of Ayn Zalgun talking about what the fuck is this shit about? What are we going to do about this? And maybe we should find out more information. And then go ahead.
You cold?
And then on the flip side, what?
Favorite heater?
Yeah, he's fine. It's actually kind of hot in here.
For you. You have a body temperature that can only be measured in Kelvin.
That's true. It's only measured in suns. That's basically we do get to see the princess and the king. We get to see the beginnings of this storyline, which they're of that
fucking princess.
Yeah, that fucking crazy ass princess.
You don't even know the half of it, man.
I mean, she's already crazy just from what I've seen. Because I did also start watching season three, so okay. We're not going to get into that now. But okay, so because we're sticking this to season two, so basically that's kind of what happens in episode one. I mean, Shaltir is basically losing her mind she's super sad because she basically betrayed the fucking Nazarick, and
hey, she's not being punished for it,
right? Because again, fucking Ayn Zalgun knows. Hey, she was under a spell.
It was my fault for that.
And it was his fault for not fucking preparing for this.
But this is also another sign of a bad leadership move.
Yeah.
Because that would work in a human setting, but not for these people who are blindly loyal.
No, there has to be punishments. You have to follow through to make these standards. And I feel like, what the fuck's his name? The speed guy, he's got the ears. He's like a demon. He's got the tail.
Oh, Demiurge?
Demiurge, yeah. I feel like he's going to betray him one of these days.
Honestly, I think he's the most loyal out of all of them.
Well, yeah, but I think that it's a farce. I feel like he's so buttery loyal that it's just going to be... He's plotting some shit, man. I just feel like it. I don't know.
As you saw in this season, Ayn keeps falling ass backwards into making everybody think he's the most brilliant thing that ever lived.
Yeah, by accident, basically. Ricola. What flavor are these?
These are standard, original.
Original butter? Oh, Krautzucker. They're kraut flavored. All right. So let me get into episode two, which this is basically where they have this, they find this culture of lizard men, basically. Mm-hmm. And so Ayn Zalgun wants to fucking do some exploratory things here and try to...
Originally, he wanted to kill them to see if their corpses would create different death knights.
Right, yeah. But then they decided that they were going to kind of just fuck with them and just see what happens. So this dark entity comes out of the sky and basically gives them the forewarning that in 8 days' time, they're going to be invaded and they're just all going to be killed, basically. And so... They're of the Green Claw tribe, these guys, and then Zaryuzu, right?
His brother.
He says, "Hey, we should do an alliance with the other three tribes: Small Fang, Razor Tail, and Dragon Tusk." Mm-hmm. Oh, and Red Eye, the other four. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, because they eliminated the other two.
Yeah, because Dragon Tusk has the survivors of the Yellow Speckle and Sharp Edge tribes.
Yeah.
So they think that there's no hope. So Zaryuzu says his brother, Zaryuzu is permitted by the chieftain, who's his brother,
what is the name for him? A wanderer?
Yeah, something like that. So he can go in between all the tribes.
But he's also exercise, he's not considered part of the tribe though.
Right. Yeah. He's like a... not an outcast, but he can walk amongst other tribes, basically, mm-hmm. and they're not going to fucking immediately kill him.
But he's not considered part of any tribe, so they don't, which is dumb. He's the most worldly out there, but his opinion matters not.
Right, exactly. So, basically, he goes to the Red Eye tribe, and that's where he meets, ironically, her name's Crush Lulu, but he meets his crush. She's an albino lizard, and he immediately falls in love with her.
After talking to his brother about, I ain't ever going to fall in love. I ain't ever going to get married.
Yeah, literally the first chick he meets falls in love with her. Dead ass. So, basically he says, let's do this deal. Did you guys also see this shit in the sky? And she's like, yeah. All of us, they're basically just assuming all the tribes also saw everything. Or saw this.
Yeah.
So... he says, okay, I'm going to go to the other tribes. And I'm trying to basically bring everybody together so we can have the best chance of surviving against these assholes. So when he immediately fucking asks her to marry him, though, or ask him to marry her. And then he starts doing the mating cry or whatever, or whatever the hell it was. And so anyway. So she says, hey, I'll go with you to try to get people to join up. So they go to the Dragon Tusk village, and Zimbaru, who's the chieftain there, he's like a straight up like savage, monk. But he's like a savage, right?
Yeah. Well, he's a monk. That's his class.
Yeah. So he wants to fight. So he tells Zaryuzu, hey, I'll only even talk to you if you can prove your worth in combat. So they fight each other. And that's when he pulls out. Wait, did he do that yet? No, this didn't happen yet. So then, well, they're going to fight. And then that's when it cuts back to Nazarique and Demiurge is talking with Eclair, and they're talking about, what's his name? That his plan is to to usurp the throne of Nazarique because
the penguin?
Because his designer had made it Momoko, whatever his name was, Ankaro,
mm-hmm.
Mochi, made him his it's like his main directive is to overthrow the throne,
but by cleaning so well
that he overthrows everyone. So Cocytus gets told of Demiurge's mission regarding some scroll that he's got to go get.
He's got to make scrolls.
They're trying to make scrolls so they can communicate.
He's trying to make scrolls from skin of animals and stuff.
Right, yeah. So then Cocytus says, okay, cool. He's going to get his army ready basically for what's about to happen. So then we get into episode 3. And basically it starts off with Zimbaru fighting Zaryuzu. And they basically, they take like a bet. And it's like, okay, you'll be the chief. He's like, if I win, I get your bitch.
Mm.
And then if you win, then okay, you could be the chief and I'll fucking, we'll go with you or whatever. So, because basically their tribe works to whoever's the strongest has to be the chief.
And he's the one that took in the survivors, right?
Right, yeah. So they fight, and basically it turns out that even though Zaryzu is less strong, and he's kind of, you know, he's not a big bad bastard like this dude is.
This guy's a higher level, but
he pulls out this dagger, kind of like frostbane, and basically it's just a magical item that freezes your enemies, and it's really cool because like it fucking the second it touches you, it's just like oh, you're fucking your arm is frozen or whatever, and you can't use it.
Unfortunately, as though we find out later on, it's a very low tier magic item.
Oh yeah, it's basically worthless to fucking Nazarick in comparison, you know. So basically, all right, he fucking says like, man, I can't fight against this item. So he's like, fuck it, I'll yield. So they win. So he says, fine, I'll join this alliance or whatever. So then they go to Razor Tail, and basically everyone's getting ready. They're already fucking getting ready for this. And they're like, hey, the enemy's got us 3-1, basically. I don't know what the fuck we're going to do. And so basically Kokaita sends out their first wave of attack. And
this is the one thing I don't get. I guess I kind of get. I don't think Kokaita was designed to be a leader. He was meant to be a fighter.
Yeah.
Because he made a lot of...
Oh, there was a lot of tactical blunders in this.
And give it to the Lizardmen. They had a solid plan.
Yeah.
I don't want to say Kokaita would have won if he would have planned things better. But you got, like I said, you got to give it to the Lizardmen. They made a solid plan, and it defeated Kokaita's army.
Right, yeah. And so, basically, Kokaitis is like, hey, he asked Demiurge for some help of like, or insight as to what he should do. And then, he basically says, hey, man, just think for yourself. And you got to like, you got to ration your troops. You know, you can't just throw them all at this thing in one wave. Like, you got to, you got to cycle this shit.
And to his credit, he learned from his mistakes.
Right, he did. So he, Kokaitis throws in an Elder Lich caster commander into the fight. And basically, he's just cutting them down pretty easily. And so Zaryzu sacrifices his steed, that fucking big ass Hydras, that Hydra snake thing, turtle or whatever the fuck. It's like a nine headed fucking Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
He sacrifices it.
Wait, isn't it Brachiosaur now?
Or Brachiosaur. Yeah, whatever. He sacrifices it to get in close to the Lich. And, basically he pulls out, he traps him in the Lich in a, like an ice cage. And then he's basically, he wins. He wins and he beats the Lich to get out of there. And essentially the lizard men win. And now Kokai just has to go back and he has to answer for his fucking crimes, essentially a failure. So then we go into episode 4, where it's like the lizard men are having a good time, right? They're just fucking celebrating their victory and their they're essentially saying, hey, we won this battle, but yeah, the war is still going to rage on. So back in Nazarick, that's where we
see, he gets interrogated.
Yeah, basically about.
And not only he recognizes his mistakes, he says what he should have done. And I like that little moment where Aynes like looks at Demiurge like, did you tell him this shit?
And he's like, nope, no, I didn't do nothing. So then,
I'm just saying, like, that leads into the whole thing about him realizing that they're growing on their own.
Right. And so that's when Kokaitis needs to have, he says Kokaitis needs to have some kind of punishment. So
that's also when he makes the punishment for Shaltir.
Oh, yeah.
Which was funny. His punishment for her was to make her into his stool or his chair.
Yeah.
Which she was way too into. And even it pissed off, what's her name, Albedo?
Albedo, yeah.
He goes, excuse me, guys, I need to just go out the other room real quick.
Fuck!
Goes back in. Oh, man. I accidentally made a hole in the wall, so you might want to get out to fixing that.
So then basically Cocytus' punishment is he has to kill all the lizard men, right? He has to destroy them all. And so Cocytus asks, hey, can they be spared and serve Nazarick? And so, you know, well, Bone Daddy wants to know why. So he says, oh, it could benefit to see how governing people under Nazarick would work, because we've never done that. And so
another thing that surprised.
Right. It is. So he says agrees and he says, OK, fine, but you can't do this with fear. You can't use any fear or any whatever to rule over them.
You have to rule with a stick, but they can't be. I forgot how he phrased it.
Yeah, there was some phrase that he did. I don't remember exactly how he said it.
You have to beat them with the stick, but lead them with the carrot.
Right. Yeah. So basically, he's starting to, or Aynes is starting to see that, yeah, like you said, they're evolving or they're learning on their own. So he's starting to feel like, oh man, they're getting more independent, I guess. And so he's like, okay, cool, this is good. So basically,
I mean, he said it best, like, even though he lost, the growth that Cocytus has was more than worth it.
Yeah. And so then basically the next day they go back to their Aynes and everybody comes and they just fucking just make this huge bombastic fucking show. Mm-hmm. And it's like basically pro wrestling on steroids, man. It was fucking cool shit.
It was like, it was akin to Triple H coming out in that Bone Throne at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And so they come out and he basically fucking tells these lizard men like, hey, you motherfuckers are, you guys are fucking all right. But you're going to get fucked up right now. So he's like,
like, they try to surrender. No. Sorry. They try to surrender. Says, no, we'll serve you right off the bat. No. You have to see why you have to serve me.
Yeah.
So you don't fucking pledge loyalty yet.
Right. Yeah. So then basically he says, Cocytus will be there in 4 hours and he's going to fucking fight you guys by himself. So they all leave and they're like saying, hey, man, why don't we just have the tribe leaders go? And let's just do that. And so, what's her name? The albino lizard Crush Lulu basically demands that Zaryuza knock her up so that, you know,
if she can't be part of the fight, then at least.
Yeah. That at least she can carry on, you know, his tribe or whatever. So then the champions, which are all the five, like the leaders of the tribe, basically, they're getting ready for this battle with Cocytus, and essentially they're going to basically have to fight. Oh yeah. That was the when they were observing the lizard men, this was the part with the Shaltair thing and the chair happens here. And then, this is when he's like, he's observing them and he accidentally sees the two the albino and the other one fucking boning. And he's just like, oh shit. And so
they're all talking, what disgusting meal and all that stuff. And he's like, hey, they're about to die. So it's only natural that they want to appropriate.
Yeah, basically. So basically Cocytus shows up and he just starts killing everybody. Or he tells them, he says, oh, hey, whatever, you fought honorably. And he's like, listen, everyone will be allowed to serve, but just know anyone who enters this fucking sphere to fight me, it's certain death. Like, you're not going to live. And so they all go in there and they're like, fuck it, man, we're gonna do this. So they go in and they basically all get fucking wiped out. And that's when he congratulates his Cocytus and, you know, says he wants.
Well, we can go back to that fight.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Which was a great fight.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was.
But it also showed Cocytus' sense of honor.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he even apologizes to him because, sorry, I can only use this weapon. You're not worthy enough. You're not strong enough for me to use my main weapons.
Yeah.
And he even lets the two brothers have their little, like, goodbye to each other moment.
Right, yeah.
He even tells him, who am I to disrupt a beautiful moment between warriors?
Right, yeah, yeah. And even when what's his name pulls out the frost paint thing and it
uses his own blood. Yeah. His own blood to slick it enough to slip through Uncle Kaitis' grip to hit him.
And it's
like, sorry, man, I'm immune to frost damage.
Yeah, he's like, it does nothing. And so then he's just like, fuck, man. He told him, if you fight me in here, it's certain death. Like, he gave him the warning. Mm-hmm. So
he did what he had to do.
Mm-hmm. So then.
Wait, he did plead to Ainz.
Right, yeah. Well, that's when he bring it. Well, so Ainz brings in Crush Lulu because he has a deal for her. And he says, listen, if you want to fucking serve me, cool. And she says about, oh, if she can bring back, what's his name, her boyfriend guy.
As
right?
as a reward for her to be his spy.
Right. And so he says, sure, yeah, I'll do that. But I need you to spy on the Lizardmen for me. I need you to have loyalty to me above all other everything. And if you can do that, then I'll bring him back from the dead. So she basically, you know, kind of reluctantly agrees. And he brings back fucking, he brings him back. He's got confusion and
a speech impediment.
A speech impediment because he's lost a bunch of levels too. So now everybody worships fucking Ainz al Ghul in the village. The Lizardmen all worship his god now, basically. And they all pledge their allegiance. And they're basically all ready to go. And they ask about the brothers. He asked for his brother to get the chieftain of the other of their village. He asked him to be brought back.
He ends up, I think, reviving all of them.
Yeah, I think he does. And he tells them, yeah, I'll think about it. And then he says, all right, go get rest and, you know, whatever. Fuck straight off. And so then that kind of ends. That was the 5-episode.
Which had a lot of character development for Kokaitis.
Yeah, there was a lot, like you said, of character development on Kokaitis. And it was impressive to see that him go from basically just kind of a lumbering. I don't want to say he's a lumbering idiot, but
oaf.
An oaf. See him go from that to then actually.
You see his his leadership mind awaken.
Yeah, basically. And once you see that, it's kind of cool to see that going from what we've seen him do in season one and then what we got to see him basically start off in this arc. And you see his development continue. And then you also kind of see how Ainz al Ghul is trying to, like, or Momon or whatever the fuck he's going by. You see how he's starting to get that feeling of, okay, well, maybe I should start letting these guys do shit on their own because, like, I shouldn't necessarily need to be able to run everything. I need to let other people kind of do shit. So he's giving them the ability to grow, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So then this is when we get into the Sebas arc. And this is where we kind of find out about, Sebas, as I learned, his name is Sebastian, but his full name is Sebastian, which Sebastian. Is just Sebastian.
Yeah.
And I was like, I literally texted Frank. I was like, the motherfucker's name is Sebastian. And then he's like, what? And I was like, Sebas. And he's like, okay. And then I'm like, Sebastian is his name. Yeah. So it's combined Sebastian. Yeah. So
we went through that 5 years ago in his first job.
I don't know, man. I just fucking blew my mind.
Your whole thing is what I went through 5 years ago.
Yeah. So anyways, basically, he stumbles upon this lady that's just like fucking destroyed. Like, she's beat to shit. Like, she is brutal. Brutalized, I guess, is probably the best word to put it. So he says, oh, man, I'm going to just fucking ignore this. And then he remembers his master or his creator, I guess, Touch Me, who basically told him, what was it, to like protect all life or protect something or mm-hmm. some shit like that. So he says, I'm going to take her back. So then the guy who's over there that tossed her out, he says, oh, please don't do that because I'm going to get killed by the old Eight Fingers crime syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
And Seba says, here's a bag of gold. That should be enough for you to get the fuck out of town and never be seen again. So she gets taken back. And what's her name? The other chick that's there with him at the mansion, Solution.
Yeah. Like that bitch.
Yeah, she's just like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, why are we doing this? Like, this is stupid. This, throw this peasant out. We don't need this shit, this insect. Get her out of here. And so he's like, nah, we're going to do this. And he's like, as a matter of fact, you're going to be the one to heal her injuries and get her all healed up. So go ahead and just be gone. Take care of this. So she I remember she tells him something about when she analyzes like all her fucking issues. She's like, yes, she's got this, 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 and multiple versions of syphilis, hepatitis, and she's just saying all fucking venereal diseases that she has. And so basically, Sebas tells her, hey, don't tell Lord Ines about this. It's not worth his time knowing about this stupid human girl. We'll figure this out later. And then after that section, it goes to Gazif, and he's having breakfast with old Brain Unglau. And he's basically depressed after his fight with Shaltir because he basically just realizes he's like, I'm weak. Like, there's nothing I can do about it. There's beings that exist that are so much stronger than me. It's just pointless for me to even fight. And so he's kind of in this like weird depression.
There's no way I can.
Yeah, I can train to like get that good.
Yeah.
So Gaz was trying to help him out, and he's just like, man, whatever. And then that's when we get to see that Adamantite Adventurer Team, Blue Rose.
Which is the only other one that's around.
That exists. Yeah, we get to see them. This is like at the end of the episode. We see them show up, and they're just basically going to blow up an illegal crop, which I'm assuming it was some kind of like, I think, what was it called? Black dust or something like that? It's like a drug, right? Like, I think that's what they're, it's like they're destroying like a drug field or whatever. And so basically they find something that says it can lead them to the like the leader of the Eight Fingers or whatever. And that's when you see that the Eight Fingers, they see that the crop's burning, and then they hear about that thing that chick got rescued by Sebas, and they're pissed. And so Zero, who's the head of the Eight Finger Security, he promises the head of the slave department that, okay, don't worry, we're gonna get this girl back. Don't worry about it. So next episode, Ines is talking about money. He's talking about the finances and everything and how it's difficult to manage all these funds. And the lizard, he's got this fucking lizard man budget. He's got these undercover agents. And he's like, fuck, man, we got all kinds of shit going on. So he tells Narbriel comes to him and says, hey, we got all these samples and we need to do like an appraisal or something. And so he says, cool, here's all the money I have left. And he says, go find out all this shit and figure out which ones so we can start mining ore, because that's like what we're going to need to do to make money, or to make it into the amounts that we needed in, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when it goes to Gazif, and they're having like a little sparring session with Climb, and he basically says like, hey, you know, oh, you saved my life, and you know, I'll always remember that, basically. And so Gazif is saying that basically Climb's power can't get past that of a gold at ranked adventure. Like, it just can't do it. And so then that's when we see Princess Renner. Climb gets introduced to Lacius? Alvian? The chick who's the leader of the Blue Roses.
Oh, the chick with that evil sword?
Yeah. And then, so, he gets introduced to them. We kind of see them and what they do. And they're kind of just explaining the importance of the Eight Fingers, basically, and how kind of like they run all the, they're like the criminal syndicate of this world. And so we get a little backstory on that. And so then he basically puts, so it goes back to Sebas, and he basically puts this chick Tuare, which is her name, the chick that he rescued, he basically puts her and makes her a maid and says that he's gotta basically go ask for, or no, I'm sorry, he puts her to work as the maid, and then that's when that guy Succulent, the Eight Fingers agent, and this constable guy, mm-hmm. that's when they show up, and they say, hey, listen, you know, we need compensation for you buying this thing despite all these anti-slave laws, even though she was a fucking slave to begin with. And so it'll be pardoned for your crime, basically, if you pay this money. And so they said, oh, we'll give you 2 days to think it over and then we'll leave. And then Seba says, oh, I'm going on a walk. And so he basically, that's when Solution kind of backstabs him, and she fucking sends a message to Ein Zal Gun and tells him, like, oh, I think Sebas has been compromised. And so that's kind of how that episode ends. We get into episode 8, where we go back to that kid Climb, and that's when he sees Gagarin and Evil Eye having lunch. And that was like this whole like storyline and shit with what's their names? The two what's that chick with the fucking it's Evil Eye. Like, yeah. She's actually like the royalty though, right?
I don't know. We don't know much about her.
Anyway, her two friends, the big chick and then the other one.
What's the other one?
I forgot what their names are.
The ninja.
Ninja chick, yeah.
There's two of them.
Right. Basically, this whole kind of arc is Tuareg getting kidnapped.
Well, before that, we need to talk about the whole when Ein's gets involved.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say, because that happened beforehand.
Before she got kidnapped, right?
Yeah. Because remember, he swears to her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because this is when he finds out that when Sebas comes back from his walk, Lord Ein and Kokaitis are there waiting for him.
Yeah, that's right. And then they do that whole
loyalty test.
Yeah. And then he passes it. Mm-hmm. And so,
but this is something that me and you agreed upon about, that this seemed a little bit, not a little bit, what's the word?
Excessive?
Unfair?
Yeah.
I don't know. I disagree with him with what he did to Sebas. Because Gokaitis failed him, but got rewarded for it because he learned and became independent.
Yeah.
Sebas did the exact same thing, but he's losing his position and becomes basically just a nobody in Nazarick.
Yeah.
Why does one get spared, but the other one gets the rod?
Yeah, agreed. I don't get why that. And I think that shows like kind of how I said it. I think it shows Ainz's ineptitude as a leader. And like he basically just lucked up into this whole thing, and he's just like, oh fuck, what do I do next?
I mean, you do see like when he like when he overreacts to a situation, mm-hmm. you see his stats kick into
it, like nullifies a lot of his shit, like his anger or his fear or whatever,
his embarrassment. Like it kicks in,
yeah.
So he doesn't show it, but he still feels it in his mind,
right?
But in this situation, like, I don't get why. Yeah, sure. Sebas fucked up. He brought eyes upon Nazarick, or not even Nazarick, on them.
Yeah, on their
operation. On that little operation.
Yeah.
But I mean, who cares? At the end of the day, it was nothing. They were nothing to.
Right.
If anything, they actually ended up propelling his plans.
Right, yeah.
Sure, that's not because that wasn't Sebas's plan.
Right.
But I think he fucked up less than Kokaitis did.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was for sure.
What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think, Ruben?
Yeah, I think I agree with you, yeah. I haven't watched it a long time, so I'm just trying to memorize it all with you.
Got it. All right.
So sorry, I'm not giving much.
No, it's, I get you. So that's when, after that, that's because what's her name gets kidnapped.
Well, he swears, like she has her swear her loyalty to him.
Right, yeah.
And that's where we find out that this is actually the sister of the adventurer girl from the Swords of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's why he wants to keep her safe.
Yeah.
Because he feels like he owes it to that little girl.
Right, yeah. Because he's like, oh, I couldn't protect your sister, but like, oh, I could protect you, mm-hmm. basically.
Which is why he got pissed when she got kidnapped.
Right, yeah.
And he has that moment where he lets his rage just take control of him.
Yeah.
And when he calls Albedo and tells her, hey, prepare the forces. They dare disrupt the word of Lord Ides, whatever. And that's when you see that Albedo kind of is like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you see that whole sense of like, oh, not like she's going to betray him.
Right, yeah.
But like, she did not like that.
Right, right, right. She did not like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when, like you said, she gets kidnapped again. Or not again, but she gets kidnapped. And then Sebas has got to go fucking save her ass. Especially because, you know, Lord Ryan's basically said he's under her protection now. So, like, oh, now we got to say some shit. We got to do some shit. So then that's when Demiurge lays out this plan for his Operation Gehenna or whatever it's mm-hmm. called. And that's basically all this shit that they're about to do to sort of lay down the law, I guess. I don't know. Or
I'll lay down the law, yeah.
I guess it would probably be the best way. So basically, well, it's that, and it's also to get Momon higher prestige, essentially. Mm-hmm. To get Which him up his, to...
his adventuring alter ego.
Yeah, it's to get him up to adamantite level, basically, right?
He's already adamantite.
Oh, no, he wanted to go...
This is just him trying to spread the word further and
right,
further
so he right.
can get more and more. Because as we learn later on, this is... if he becomes the hero of the nation, then he has way more influence.
Oh, yeah, than being just like the ruler or whatever. So then, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's when Demiurge has the bug maid fucking out there. And she's like fucking their shit up. But then they basically what's her name? Evil Eye uses the
only reason she won is because she made an insecticide spell.
Yeah, that's the only reason that she won was because of that. And so then basically Demiurge has to come out and fucking, you know, start doing some shit. And so during that. What is it?
Yeah, that's when Demiurge reveals himself as
Jalabadath or something like yeah. that. It's some fucking stupid name.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I heard it, I thought about the that fucking camp that they go to in South Park the Jews.
Yeah. I forget what it was.
Yeah, called. But yeah, I don't know why it just made me think of that.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, he kills those two chicks. Like, it's fucked
one
up.
One shots them,
and he's like, oh, I guess they were too weak.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, I did not mean to kill them. I just thought they were at your level. Why are you hanging out with such weak people?
Yeah, basically. And so then, what's his name? So Momon shows up after she's kind of fighting him, and then he basically bounces or whatever. Or he...
makes him look like he's, like, them two are equal levels.
Yeah, whatever. Basically. And so that's when Sebas, when he gets to that fucking that party or whatever.
Oh, shit.
Man, that was the coolest shit, dude. When he gets in there and there, he's basically just like.
He's being chill until that fucking like they're all introducing himself. Oh, I am the warrior of the women, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like she's dancing. I am the warrior of the nine blades, whatever. And I am whatever the ruler of death. And that's when he gets pissed off. He's like, cool. Say what? There's only one ruler of death.
Yeah. And dude, he fucking just one shots them and explodes their fucking heads. Like it's the coolest shit ever. It was like the coolest fight scene ever. And he just murders them. They're like the strongest fucking people in this place. And he just fucking murders them in one shot with basically no effort. And so then that's when he goes and he gets what's her name back and Sebas is like, oh yeah, I killed the six. I killed everybody. I killed them all.
They're all dead.
He's like, yeah, I killed them all. And then fucking, what's his name?
Brain and Climb. Yeah.
They're just like, what the fuck? They're like, okay.
Cool. Oh, I also missed that interaction between them.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when he was, Climb was ran into him after he saw him rescue the other person? Remember the.
Yeah.
And Climb asked him, like, how can I get stronger?
Yeah. And he tells him.
Like, he tells him, you can't.
You can't.
There's a limit.
Yeah.
But there is a way you can get stronger in a different way.
And then that's when he makes that deal with him. He says, all right, I'm going to do this to you, but you could die. And you most likely will die.
Most likely will die.
But if you survive,
you will be
stronger.
And he's like, all right. And he goes in for a death punch, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he stops like halfway. He's like, you had the will. You face certain death and faced it without fear. You faced it with fear and overcame that fear.
Yeah.
Because that's something. It didn't make him stronger in the sense of levels or
stats. Right, yeah.
But it made him into the type of warrior that can face death and not run away.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And that's when you also see that Brain was there.
Yeah.
And so they basically took that lesson to heart. Both of them took that lesson to heart.
Yeah, right. Because they observed this happen.
Yeah. And so now this is them in there. And that's what Brain was able to get his mojo back.
Right, yeah.
Well, that and all the stuff that Gazareth was doing with him, too.
Yeah.
So that's when they run into him and they tell him, hey, we're going to do this, too. Why don't you just team up? He goes, sure. I'll take the front. You guys take the back.
Yeah. And so then that's when this whole plan that Demiurge has to like make this big spectacle, and he puts this fire ring around the city and all this crazy shit. And so that's when, okay, the adventurer.
I want to call it a spectacle because they killed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, they did. I mean, it was a spectacle of death, essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they go around and they put out all this fucking shit. And now the Adventurers Guild essentially is like, okay, we got to defend the city. We got to do something about this. And that's when Momon is like, cool, I'm going to be the one to fucking save this shit. That's the whole point of this plan, is so that he can then be, like you said, the hero of fucking the kingdom and whatnot.
I also like that little scene with the king.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the strongest knights, including Gazev, who swore loyalty to the king, have to stay by his side to protect him at all times.
Right.
So they couldn't help out in the siege that was happening. So the king goes, hey, they have to stay by me, so I'm going in there. So he goes to the front lines. So all the best warriors could have been there now, too.
Right, yeah.
I just thought that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
What about that?
And so basically, the plan works flawlessly. Because obviously, Demiurge gets quote-unquote defeated.
And then
and retreats or whatever.
But then we also have the rematch between... rematch between Brain and Shaltier.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And all he does is manages to slightly crack her fingernail on her pinky.
Yeah.
Because she blocks his like most powerful attack.
Right.
And he takes that as a win because
he's like, fuck yeah, I did some damage.
I did damage. I actually managed to touch and live.
Yeah, and live.
But the only reason he lived because she had orders not to get involved.
Right, yeah. So then basically after they have this little defeat and this thing comes to an end.
Hold on, before that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't get to talk about this last one.
Uh-huh.
So remember when Shaltier in the first season, when she goes bloodthirsty, she turns into that demonic form.
Right, yeah.
She has the plain dress and she has like a circle mouth and her tongue's all out.
Yeah.
And that was her going crazy.
Yeah.
Which made sense because, you know, vampire, she looks kind of ghoulish and shit
that. Right, yeah.
But her most powerful form when she fought Lordaerne was a fucking mech armor suit.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty sweet.
What the fuck? There's no fucking theme there.
No, there is none. Yeah. I mean, it was cool as shit.
It was cool.
But
it was a cool armor, but like, it didn't make sense to me.
it fucking did not make any sense whatsoever.
And then when she fights Brain, she's wearing all white in that mask. Like, what was the point of that?
Yeah, well, it could just be because that's how... I mean, obviously, she was created by fucking players, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they don't have any... experience in designing characters and making shit like go through and make sense. Like, so obviously they were like, oh, hey, no, be cool. Is this Shaltier's ultimate form was a mech? Oh, fuck yeah, let's do that. But she's a vampire. Oh, who cares? I want her to be a mech. Like, let's do it.
Okay, yeah, wait, she's a vampire. Her sword can drain hell. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Fine. The problem solved. But,
what was her? Who was her creator? Touch Me? No. Paramachingo?
Yeah, I think it was, that one. Yeah.
Either Paramachingo or Lord Perspero.
Yeah, similar. No, Paramachingo made the twins.
Yeah, that's what the L's. Yeah, it was Perspero, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, continue, Josh.
So then basically that's when the whole thing ends and they all basically fucking hail Momon as a hero. The plan works flawlessly.
And then we also have that scene too when they're talking, where him and Demiurge have that little talk.
Yeah.
And I guess Demiurge stole that statue that can summon like a level 3 hell demon or something.
Yeah.
And Aynes is like, that must be a prototype of this. And he pulls out a golden version of it and it has like 80 arms. He's like, this summons a level 100 one.
Yeah. Oh, and then that's right, because they kidnapped
a bunch of people.
A bunch of the Eight Fingers heads or whatever.
No, not just the Eight Fingers heads, but a bunch of civilians.
Yeah. And they wanted them to serve fucking Aynes al Gun. Mm-hmm. And so...
Well, remember, dude, when they fucking stole that chick with the big tits?
Yeah.
Fucking, was it the little girl? The boy who's dressed like a girl? Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are you the leader here? He goes, I guess. Are you lost? Oh, please don't resist.
Yeah,
breaks her fucking leg.
Yeah.
And just starts dragging her by her hair.
Yeah, and then they basically tortured her so that she would be fully compliant. And then... She's brought in the room with the other ones and they're like, the other assholes are not wanting to fucking comply. And so she says, you know what? She's like, I'll let you handle the torture of this one to the chick.
And like, because remember she also says, hey, so I guess I'm gonna have to kill and torture all of you. And then she's like, but wait, I was loyal. I brought them all here to you.
Yeah.
Well, not you, obviously. And that's when the fuck, bitch?
Yeah, yeah. And so basically now they've got the Eight Fingers fucking working for them. And, there was that's when you see the Baharuth Empire.
Is that when they do the declare war with the dragons?
Yeah, kind of. They basically, he's got some fucking, the emperor's, that it's that emperor guy, and he's like all fucking.
The blonde, right?
Yeah, and he's all like fucking fancy pants, like a fucking piece of shit, you know? He's just like a rich guy. And he basically has this guy who's like this wizard, Farlord El Nix, and he says, well, we've been looking into this Aynes al Gun that we've been hearing of, and he concludes basically that he says that he is either greater than or equal to his level of magic power. And he's like, you know, maybe we should just meet this guy. And he says, interesting. And then he says, you know what? He's like, I want you to look into Adamantite Adventurer Momon as well, which unbeknownst to them is the same fucking dude. Us. But yeah, unbeknownst to them, but knowns to us. But knowns to us is the same fucking guy. Right, so basically, that's where the season ends.
As we said earlier today, I know I'm not going to say it.
What?
I was gonna give a hint to the.
Oh yeah, no, let's not give a hint. I mean that's probably a hint already enough of just saying that. So all in all, I thought the season was pretty good. I just was not. I almost didn't watch with the fucking Lizardmen shit. I almost said fuck, I'm not finishing this. But I had said no. I made a commitment, and you know what? I better fucking follow through with it because I made a commitment to watch this whole goddamn show. So. Not that it's a goddamn show now, but I mean, it's fucking great. I fucking enjoy the shit out of the show. And now I'm kind of like, I've started watching season 3. So,
how far are you into season 3?
I've only seen like, I think a couple episodes.
Okay.
So I don't know if I'll be able to finish it this week, but I did want to say I did finish Solo Leveling.
Yeah, so we should probably do the review for that one.
So I think, have you seen Solo Leveling, Ruben?
Yes.
Okay, good. You seen the whole thing?
Yes.
All right, cool. So I'm thinking, I mean, obviously, Frank, this is your show. So with your permission, Bone Daddy.
I'm not Bone Daddy.
Would you like to, maybe next week we'll do
Solo Leveling and then.
Because then by the next one.
You'll be ready, yeah.
Yeah, I should have been finished Overlord Season 3 by then.
Then we should probably do the Fallout one next week then too, huh?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Maybe we'll do solo leveling.
Four episodes of Fallout?
Yeah, we'll just do the first four. We'll just say fuck it.
Or
we'll
we
just,
can make
we could do two episodes. Because we're gonna play D&D.
Maybe we should just do D&D. It's solo level eight.
Okay, I can live with that. And then we can do,
because we're probably gonna need 2 hours of that.
Of D&D at least, yeah. And then we'll do solo leveling. So the next week's episode of Anime Syndicate will be a review and discussion of solo leveling, yeah. Which I guess we'll talk about it then. I won't give it a hit. But anyways, back to Bone Daddy. It's a good fucking show. And
also, what was the other thing you told me about season two that you really enjoyed? The music.
Oh man, the fucking intros and the outros are just fucking so good, man. They're straight fire. That is the one thing that I said, and then Frank's like, huh, it's almost like I knew that. And I was like, yeah, okay, bitch, shut up, all right? You're right. You're fucking right. That's not the clip. That's not going to be the clip. It'll never be the clip.
100% is going to be
absolutely
the clip.
Not. Unfortunately, I control the clip, so I will not be doing that. Absolutely. It will never be the clip.
Then I guess the Anime Syndicate ends today.
Will never be the clip. Wait, what? So you're saying you're going to end the podcast forever?
Yep.
Terrible.
I'll sell my shirts to some Middle Eastern dude.
All right.
Well, better yet, I'll sell my shares to Time Warner.
Time Warner, yeah.
They can shut you down like Twitch your team.
Damn, we'll just another victim. All right. So yeah, that's pretty much the end of it. You got anything else to add? How did you feel about season two?
I enjoyed it. I had no complaints. My only complaints are the lolis.
Yeah, I don't like that either. But
at least they're starting to play them down.
Yeah, true. Ruben, how'd you feel about this season two?
Yeah, same thing. I just enjoyed it. Really, it's just nothing really too bad about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have to rate it once again at 9.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna have to give it like an 8.5 for the fucking lizard man shit. Like I understand why, but I just didn't. I didn't want it. I didn't want to see it. Mm. Like it's an 8.5. This season, I do think that the next season's probably, with the way this season ended and what I've seen so far, I feel like the next season's gonna be fucking for sure. Yeah,
third and fourth are gonna be fucking
like,
great.
It's gonna be like, it might be a 10. I don't know. We'll see. 9.5 or 10. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I have to watch it first. So, anyways, all right. Cool.
Saying, I think the next season, they're gonna introduce two characters that are actually voiced by Michael Jones and Lindsay. I can't remember her last name.
Lindsay Lohan.
No.
Lindsay Sterling. Lindsay.
I'm just going to call it Jones because they're married in real life.
Lindsay Collins.
No, but they're both from Rooster Teeth.
Oh. All right. Well, that's cool. So, anyways, all right. You guys got anything else?
Lindsay's name.
You got anything else to add anime related to the end of this episode?
Not really.
You got anything? No. Any anime shit you want to talk about? Before we end it?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing? Yeah. Well, while Frank's looking up her last name to give proper respect, I swear to God, if it's Jones, I'm going to just stab you.
That's her new name now because she got married.
Oh, well, then that's Michael correct. Jones.
But she was going by her original name for the longest time. Tubbs, that's what it was.
Lindsay Tubbs.
But Lindsay Jones is not her thing. But she's also the main. She's Ruby in Ruby.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, all right. You want to take us out?
I think you should do the outro this one.
Oh, you want me to do the outro?
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for fucking listening. And again, if you want to go hear all of our other shit, go to GameRageMagazine.com. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at GameRageMagazine. And if you have Twitter/X, the Elon fucking SpaceX social media thing, we're at GameRageMag there. Because for some reason, they can send shit to space, but they can't give you 15 characters to fucking write your name on Twitter. I don't fucking understand why that is. But anyways, that's where we're at with that. And I guess we will say this.
Now that TikTok's being banned, you think he should buy Vine and bring it back?
I mean, I kind of think that's probably what's going to happen. Whoever... I don't know who owns Vine. Does Meta own Vine?
I think it might be Facebook, yeah.
Because if they own Vine, then they won't bring it back, because now I think what will happen is TikTok is going to become it, like everybody who's on TikTok, once it goes away, is going to go to, is just going to go fully to Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I think that's
and YouTube.
I think, and yeah. And I think that's what Meta wants. I think they want all that shit to be on Instagram now. I mean, that's what we're going to have to do. We're gonna, well, I mean, we're on everything anyways, but mm-hmm. TikTok, and this is what sucks. This is a little inside baseball for people out there, but that's what sucks about TikTok going away is we do really good on TikTok, and we're starting to do a lot better on Instagram, but I'm hopeful that those people that are with us on TikTok will follow us over to Instagram, because we, our counts are a little lower on Instagram than they are on TikTok, or our averages, I should say. But I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess. So anyways, all right. Agents, this is Syndicate Headquarters signing off. Fuck, we need like a catchphrase.
We'll come with another one.
Good hunting, agents. May the gods of anime be with you.
So curious, hurry up.